Hello, welcome back to the Finding Fulfillment Together podcast. Today, I am in Montana. I'm actually staying with friends on a goat farm, which is why I'm back in my RV. So I've been traveling across the country, as I love to do, spending my time just being in nature, being with friends, and honestly taking this time still to build my relationship with the Lord, really understanding who Jesus is, why he came to this earth, how he is our Savior, how he gave his life for us so that we can have eternal life. I'm really learning everything. I'm taking everything in for the first time as a baby Christian. Sorry, probably hear the sound of my dogs walking around as usual. Just a reminder that I do have two dogs that will make their appearances, so don't mind the background noise. So today's going to be a little bit different, because I'm really going to dig into a topic that I have been studying. Reminder, I have only been a Christian for about 6 weeks, so everything is brand new to me, but I really feel inclined to share what I'm learning, and you can take from it what you will. You know, you can leave what doesn't resonate with you, but, you know, because I know I'm talking to a mixture of believers and non-believers, but what I really want to talk about today is the deception of the New Age. Because the moment that I took the step to having faith in Jesus, the veil was removed from my eyes, and I saw clearly. I mean, over the past 6 weeks, I have been just flooded with the truth, with what has really been going on in this world my whole life, but especially in these New Age modalities that I was taking part in, this kind of world that I was in, where, you know, I really was seeking healing and was being deceived. So I want to walk through what I've learned in hopes that maybe it can help someone else who's on this journey. Maybe if you're accepting Jesus for the first time, or maybe if you're even still, you know, in the New Age, still drinking ayahuasca and taking mushrooms and all of those things, and, you know, deep into trying to raise your consciousness. I want to talk about all of those things and what they meant to me, and what my understanding is now of what I see as the truth. So first thing I want to talk about, I mean, question is, can we get healing from psychedelics? And can we connect with God through the use of psychedelics? And I'm talking about ayahuasca, psilocybin, DMT, really all of the different modalities that are used, these different psychedelic medicines, as they're referred to, plant medicines. Can we connect with God through these with these plant medicines, with these psychedelics? And can we get lasting healing? Because I think that's why we turn to them. For example, I decided to take ayahuasca because I had heard that I could get healing from it, that I could find out what inside of me needs to heal, what do I need to work on in myself, how can I become the absolute best version of myself. And I was told that ayahuasca will show me things that I would not be able to find on my own, and I could really dig in and do that type of healing. So a lot of people turn to it for healing. A lot of people turn to it because they want to, again, know themselves on a deep level, that you know, things can be introduced to them that they might not be aware of potentially. We want to feel love. We're told, you know, ayahuasca really does make you feel love. And we want to face the shadow that's inside of us, things that, you know, we want to, childhood traumas, for example, or PTSD, things that we know are deep and dark within us that we want to face, that ayahuasca can bring to the surface. And again, we're seeking a connection with God. I think most people, a lot of people who go to drink ayahuasca or to take psychedelics are seeking a connection. They know there's more, and they want to know more. They want to know more about the spiritual realm. They know there's a higher power, and they want to know more about it. And ayahuasca kind of opens this door. Psychedelics in general open this door to this other realm, to where there is a deeper understanding of these things. So that's what people are eager for, is really a connection with God. So now I want to get into kind of what I've learned since becoming a Christian, since accepting Jesus. One of the big things that I talked about is that one of the big things I accepted and now know to be true is that Satan is real, that the devil is real, that evil is real. And, you know, Satan's goal is to keep us away from the truth, to keep us away from knowing God, knowing the one true God. And how does he do that? I mean, honestly, to me now, my eyes are so open and it's being done every day, right in front of our eyes. And I think people now in this day and age are seeing the evil very clearly in this world. We see the divide happening through politics, all different kinds of division between people, deeper than it's ever been. And we see in the media, I mean, look what the media is filled with. Sin is normalized. You know, everything having to do with drugs and alcohol and sex outside of marriage. I mean, you can't go anywhere without seeing sex symbols everywhere. And it's just so normalized that it's just like, you know, you're weird if you don't have sex out of marriage. You're weird if you've never tried a drug. You're weird if you've never gotten drunk. I mean, it's so normal to drink and binge drink on the weekends, especially, you know, when you become a teenager or go to college. You're weird if you don't do those things. So really, it's become so normalized to do those things, and that is exactly Satan's goal, is to have us sin and think that it's okay and not think that there's any problem with it, and just go on with life. And the focus on power and greed and pride and money, I mean, I know in my previous life, I would say, before I was reborn, before I really started on the spiritual journey, I was very, very focused on money. I wanted to make a lot of money. I was in pharmaceuticals, and all I cared about was making more money, getting the next promotion. You know, to me, that was success, was making money. And that's what we're shown. That's what we're told. That's how we're brought up in this society, is to strive to make a lot of money, to have a lot of possessions, to focus on materialism. And again, that's normalized. You're weird if you don't care about going to college and getting a good job. So, you know, we're just shown the ways of evil, and that this is Satan's world. I mean, it says that in the Bible, that this is Satan is the god of this world. So it's just become so obvious to me that everything, you know, if you don't have Jesus, you will easily get sucked in to the evil of this world and turn away from God. Of course, because we're just told that, you know, believing in God is crazy, and believing in Jesus being the Lord and Savior, like, that sounds nuts, but really, that's the truth. But anyway, so that's Satan's goal, is to keep us away from God. And the enemy, so Satan is not omnipresent. He has fallen angels, and that's described in the Bible, that there is 33% of angels are fallen angels that are now part of Satan's really dominion, this you know, army that he has on this earth. So it's not just Satan, but there's demons and all of these other entities that are fighting on his behalf. The spiritual realm, we cannot begin to comprehend. And that's something that doing psychedelics actually shows you, is the spiritual realm. You're kind of introduced to the spiritual realm, and you start to open your eyes to, oh, there's more than just this physical body. And so that knowing that there's a spiritual realm, but we cannot comprehend how vast and how big and how much there is to it. It just doesn't even make sense to our brains. But Satan and his fallen angels are in the spiritual realm, and they are controlling things and putting things in our path that lead us away from Jesus. A perfect movie to watch if this is kind of like interesting to you and you want to understand how Satan works through people is the movie Nefarious. You can find it on Amazon Prime. I just watched it recently. It is amazing and a really, really great movie that is, you know, very suspenseful, keeps you interested. And actually about a man who is possessed by a demon, and he's on death row. Super interesting. I highly recommend watching it to get a deeper understanding of how demons work in human bodies, and how they kind of really control us. And they're loving that we're falling deep into sin. They love that we are dividing ourselves with politics, and they love that we're like stuck on our phones and we can't stop watching the news or watching TV. They're feeding us and feeding us and feeding us with anything they can to lead us away from the truth, to lead us away from living godly lives. So really, there's just constant temptation to sin. And their job, the Satan and his dominions, their job of leading us away from the one true God becomes so easy when we take psychedelics. Because when you take even mushrooms, a large dose of mushrooms or ayahuasca or DMT, you are leaving your body. Our body is our vessel, is our temple. So when we leave that, we say, all right, take over my mind, take over my body. Without the protection of Jesus, we're giving that, we're opening ourselves up to the enemy to come on in and show us whatever they want to show us, whatever they think is going to lead us away from God. And really what they end up showing us is all the things that we think we need. You go there again, wanting healing. Okay, what do you want healing from? Let me show you something deep inside of you that's going to open up something that's going to heal you, get you to be aware of something about yourself. And it feels like you're being healed, like you really are. It's not fake. You are being communicated to by spirits in the spiritual realm. You are being shown true things about yourself, true things about your life, true things about things that you probably need to change to become a better person. Maybe if you're a heavy drinker, you come out of it not wanting to drink. You might be an alcoholic that comes out of drinking ayahuasca, and you never want to drink alcohol again. That sounds fantastic. It's exactly what you need and want. And you might have PTSD, and you go drink ayahuasca, and now you're cleared of all of those awful memories because now you're able to focus on love and focus on yourself and focus on your healing. That's all things that happen through doing psychedelics. But what's really happening is you are being shown exactly what the devil, what Satan, what the enemies know you need to feel like you can do it yourself. Why would you turn to Jesus? Why would you turn to God? If you can do it yourself, you can be the God of your own world. Why would you need the one true God? So it's the perfect way for them to just say, here's everything you need. I'm going to give you everything you need. You don't need God. You don't need Jesus. Here's the way you can heal yourself. Keep drinking these psychedelics. Keep taking this or that. Do deep meditation and go within yourself. Go within. Not turn to Jesus, not turn to God. Go within. And it feels so good because you are getting healing. You are getting what you're looking for. But it's Satan's goal to lead us away from God. And he's doing that through the use of these psychedelics. So God does warn us about this in the Bible. And I'll read a couple of pieces of scripture, because I think it's important to understand that it's in the Bible. Like, the guidelines he gave us are clear. Leviticus 19:31 says, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 18:10-12 says, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or none who call up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. Clearly saying, stay away from these things, stay away from spiritists, stay away from witchcraft. It is the way that the devil uses to get inside your head, to get inside your body. When you take a psychedelic, you're saying, come on in, do what, and we're looking for something so beautiful. We're looking for healing. We're looking for a connection to God. And it's a perfect playground for Satan and his fallen angels, his army, to just take over. For the enemy to take over your body. And psychedelics are becoming so mainstream, so mainstream. Ayahuasca is talked about more and more and more. We all know Joe Rogan. If you listen to Joe Rogan, he talks about psychedelics like it's nothing. Like, it's, you know, he does talk about it's a very intense experience, but it's always positive. It's always people that come on his show talking about how they had this amazing experience on DMT or on psychedelics of any kind, ayahuasca. And it is an amazing experience. It feels fantastic, but you're not connecting to the one true God. You're connecting to Satan and his fallen angels that are taking control and showing you exactly what they want you to see. So just to kind of tell a story of what I saw when I was on ayahuasca. So I have drank ayahuasca 9 times. It was 3 different retreats that I attended where I drank 3 times each retreat. And what I was shown as far as what is God was this bright, bright light above my head, this huge source of energy that above everything, not just above my head, it was above everything, but I could see it. It was just look up and there's this bright, bright source of energy that's this bright light. And what I was shown is that I can feed this bright light with my energy, with my love, but I have to purify my body to be able to be pure love, to feed source, the creator, the universe, God, all these different interchangeable words for what this light was. And I was shown that if I do the work through meditation, through, just cleansing myself with spiritual knowledge and doing yoga, things like that, aligning my chakras so that I could get to this place of pure connection, being pure love, and feeling every emotion that I had really, really deeply, no matter how painful it is, to feel those emotions, sit with them, and then release them. And I was shown that Mother Earth would take all of my pain and take all of my struggle, and she would turn it back into life and turn it back into love. And then my vessel could be this pure vessel of pure love that I could feed my energy back into source. Super, super beautiful, unbelievably beautiful concept. And then I was shown that my vessel is my kingdom, and that I need to, sorry about the whining of my dog, that my vessel is my kingdom, and that I am in control of my kingdom, and I need to keep it safe and protected and pure. And anytime I need to escape the world, I can go inside to my kingdom and find solace with myself, find peace inside myself. And I could do that through meditation, through practicing yoga, through sitting in silence, through improving my mindfulness, raising my consciousness. So those are all the things that I focused on. And I worked really, really hard. I did all the work, 5 hours of practices every single day to try to do the work, to try to raise my consciousness, to get to this place where I could be pure love and feed that love to source. Through doing these practices, I could get to a place of pure consciousness where my love was feeding source, and then source could then take that love and feed it back to the entire planet. So it's very, very beautiful. I came out of it feeling so powerful and so just pure, and it felt amazing. And I want to kind of explain now what I believe, from what I have learned through reading the Bible. It's fake, it's counterfeit, is really what I believe now. Is what we're being shown is this counterfeit God. We're not being shown that we have to have faith in Jesus. We're not being shown the true God. We're being shown through that, like I just explained, that we have the power within us. And that is so dangerous, because then why would I turn to Jesus? Why in the world would I ever turn to Jesus when I have the power within myself to heal myself and to feed our God, our creator, with my energy? And I really believe now that, with my faith now, I would not turn to psychedelics for healing. I would not turn, because I know that that's false. I now that I have, I took the step, and I've explained this on previous in my testimony, I took that step to accept Jesus. And in doing that, it was the hardest thing that I have ever had to do, because I knew in that moment, if I accepted that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, that I would have to give up everything that I have been doing, and I would have to not believe in everything that I was shown from ayahuasca. And I knew that because of Maria, my mother-in-law, telling me that I was being led by Satan, and I did not believe her at all. I did not believe her. And that's why in that moment when I decided, wait, I think Jesus is the real deal, when he came to me in the dream, and I'll link my testimony if you want the full story, but God spoke to me in a dream and told me that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. So when I came around to believing that, to having faith in Jesus, that veil was broken, and I knew I had to give up everything I was doing. I had to turn away from all of the beliefs that I had in what I was shown from ayahuasca. And I knew, in that moment that was fake, and I had to let it go. And it was hard to do. It was so hard to do, because my beliefs were strong. And it was the only thing I'd ever known. I had only started believing in God at all 2 years ago. And ayahuasca showed me everything I knew about spirituality. So to just say, no, I don't believe in any of that anymore, it was so hard. But I decided to just I mean, God spoke to me, Jesus saved me. The only way I can describe it is absolutely supernatural, because I put my faith in Jesus, and boom, I was shown that everything I was doing was counterfeit, and I was brought to all these different books to read and videos to watch on how this is Satan's goal. He's using psychedelics to pull us away from Jesus. And I'm telling you, when I put my faith in Jesus, that fulfillment I was looking for, I was filled with it. The love that I wanted, I was filled with it, without having to take ayahuasca, without having to turn to any psychedelic, without having to do anything but have faith. I was filled with everything I've been looking for. And I just can't stop reading the Bible, because that is the word of God. He's speaking to us clearly in a book that we can read. It's just, it blows my mind. And what I wanted to do was go back and figure out where did this all begin? Where did Satan start to take control of this world? Because I knew, you know, Satan's a fallen angel, like that was told to me, but I wanted to understand it. So I went into Genesis, the first book of the Bible, where Satan is first mentioned. And I read Genesis 3, and it just was like, oh my gosh, we are falling for the original sin. Taking psychedelics and trying to connect with God and trying to be God-like, being the God of our own worlds, is exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden, the way that Satan tempted Eve. We are still falling for that same original sin. And I want to read it from the Bible for you to understand how I came to this conclusion, and, you know, how this reality came to my eyes. So I'm going to read Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6. And it's titled The Fall of Man. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden." The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. I'm going to reread that one part. That's about the serpent, the initial sin. He told Eve, "Your eyes will be opened and you will be like God." He promised her, "You will be like God. Eat this fruit and you will be like God." Is that not what we think when we take ayahuasca? Drink this brew and you will see the spiritual realm. You will know what you need to heal within yourself. You will be like God. And it's the most tempting thing in the world, because we all want to be God-like. It's what we all want. To become more like God is humanity's highest goal, right? As it should be. But Satan misled Eve, because he said the right way to do this is to disobey God, is to eat the fruit that he told you not to eat, that he warned you against. But she took it into her own hands, and she saw, oh, this looks good. This looks like good fruit. I want to have knowledge. I want to know what God knows. And she ate it. And it is exactly what we are falling for every time we take a psychedelic, every time we take our lives into our own hands and put ourselves in the place of God. We put ourselves above him. And then who needs them? It is exactly what Satan wants. It's the plan of the enemy, and it's brilliant, and it is working to lead people away from Jesus. We think we can manifest our lives, that we can make our lives whatever we want to make them, that we have the power within us. And that is the message of New Age spirituality, that we can be the gods of our own life. And it is so dangerous and so not true. We need Jesus. He paid the ultimate price for us. Without him, we are not saved. We will not have eternal life without faith in Jesus. And I know how hard it is to understand that, because it doesn't make logical sense that a man died on a cross and now I'm saved. But it's the most beautiful, true story. And if you believe in the spiritual realm, then you believe in the supernatural, and things like this are not explainable, but it is true. And the Bible explains it to us so that we know exactly how to have eternal life. And it is avoiding these traps that the enemy has set for us and not taking these steps outside of God's word. He warned us about this, and we need to heed that warning. It is just, it's so clear to me now, like I said, because I took that step of having faith. And all we need is a little faith. Just think, what if? What if what she's saying is actually true? What if Jesus is the only way? What if I've been fooled? What if I've been deceived by ayahuasca, by all of these things I've been told and these lessons that I've learned through taking psychedelics? What if I'm being deceived? And just put a little bit of faith in Jesus and think, what if he died for my sins so that I could have eternal life? And open the Bible. Open to the Gospel of John. And with open eyes and with no judgment, with an open mind and heart, thinking, what if? What if these are the words of God? And just read John with that mindset, thinking that what you're reading is Jesus talking to you, because God came down in human form as Jesus to teach us these things, to show us the way to have eternal life. He made it perfectly clear in the Bible. So if you read John with that open heart, it might just change you, and it might get you to see the truth, the real truth, the only truth. My eyes have been opened, and everything is so clear to me now. I mean, it is history. It is history in a book, and the Gospels especially, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these are the stories of men who walked with God, who walked with Jesus and heard his words, and they wrote them down for us, for the future, for the people that are going to be going through what we're going through, these evil, evil times where Satan has taken over everything. Again, we are in Satan's world. So the Bible tells us how to avoid all of these traps. And the Gospels are the words of Jesus. They weren't written, you know, by, it wasn't like stories of generations and generations of people telling these stories, and then they finally got written down, and it's like a game of telephone, and it's all different. No, these men walked with Jesus, and they wrote down their own words for us to read. This is what Jesus told me, and what he wants you to know. And it's absolutely beautiful when you read it, knowing that it's the truth. It changes everything. It changes everything. The reality is, we don't need to be our own God. We need to know him and become like him by reflecting his characteristics and recognizing his authority over our life. That's what the Bible tells us. And once you do that, I'm telling you, it's this feeling that you cannot explain. I cannot possibly explain to you how I'm feeling now and why I'm so convicted, because it fills me. I am filled with the Holy Spirit, and these words are flowing because I have that, because he is speaking through me. It's unlike anything ever. I mean, ayahuasca felt amazing. It truly did. That's why I kept going back and back and back. But the reason I had to keep going back and back and back is because it's counterfeit and it's temporary. The only thing that can truly fill you with the truth is faith in Jesus. I can't believe that I thought my energy could feed God, or that it could feed our collective consciousness. My energy does not feed God. He breathed life into me. He breathed life into man. I don't power him. He powers me. And I am so grateful for that. I am so sorry for believing that I was my own God. And I know now that I can only bow down to him and serve him with this life. And I am so grateful that I know the truth now, that he opened my eyes, that he saved me. And that all those beliefs of me being able to feed him seem silly now. They really do seem silly. Because when we leave God out of our plans, and we put ourselves in place of him, It's exactly what Satan wants. It is exactly what he wants. He wants us to think we're in control, because again, why would we need God? Why would we need Jesus? He wants as many people to turn away from the one true God as possible. His goal is to get as many people into his dominion, really. And again, we can be, the scary thing is if we open ourselves up with psychedelics and allow them in, not only can they control our mind and control our thoughts and put all this stuff into our minds, but demons can enter our bodies. If you don't have the protection of Jesus, demons can enter your body and start to control you on a deeper level and lead you down darker and darker tunnels. There's light magic and there's black magic, and the people that allow this demons to come in end up going down that path of black magic. And I'm not going to get into all that now, but New Age can get really dark. And it's like you take these baby steps. You're in the light, you're doing all these things of light and love, and then all of a sudden you're doing like blood worshiping and witchcraft, real witchcraft, tarot card readings and medium readings and all these things that you think are innocent. They're not. They are dangerous. We are channeling demons with these modalities. And I will kind of get deeper into these things as I learn more. I want to continue to share what I'm learning, but I first wanted to share kind of like the overall, the goal of Satan and how we're falling into his trap is really what I'm trying to explain here. And we, on a normal basis, we're going to choose wrong things because we've become convinced that they're good for us, that they're going to help us, like ayahuasca and like getting a medium reading and things like that, work and yoga. And I'm going to talk about yoga. I'm sure a lot of you were like, why is she so against yoga? Why does she keep talking about yoga? I will get into in another episode why yoga is not a good practice to do and is not of God. But anyway, psychedelics are a perfect example of us choosing something that we think is good for us, but it is not of God. And the Bible clearly warns us against these things. The pleasant sins are the hardest to avoid. Okay, so how can we avoid this trap? I've already talked about a lot of these things, but I'll still go through this. First and foremost, just faith in Jesus. Open the Bible. Go read the Gospel of John with an open mind. And I know you're not going to just jump in and say, okay, I believe. It's hard. I know that. It's going to take time. But try to just open your mind and open the Bible and read the Word of God and see what it might ignite within you. And I read it with pure judgment. When I first started reading the Bible, I didn't believe it. I didn't believe these were the words of God. But I kept reading it, and I kept reading it, and I kept reading it. And I think that was part of why God came and saved me and opened my eyes, because I was putting the time into reading his word. So I do recommend reading the Bible and just having that little mustard seed of faith that can grow into changing your entire life. Our natural response is to fear fellowship with God. We fear because we think, I'm living the most sinful life, but I'm happy in my sins. I like drinking. I like getting high. You know, I don't want to be clean and sober and doing all the things that God says to do. Like, that's not me. Or God's not going to accept me because I have done way too much. There's no way I can turn and be a Christian now. I promise you two things. One is that God loves you unconditionally, no matter what you have done. He loves you even more because you've gotten so far. You're the sheep that got away, and he will go find you. He will leave the 99 to go get you, to go get the one, if you just have a mustard seed of faith. So I promise you, he doesn't care what you've done in your past. He wants you to come back to him. Secondly, when you do, when you have that little bit of faith, it will fill you. You will be shocked at how much you understand once you have just a little bit of faith in Jesus. The veils will be taken off, and all of the things that you think you want to do now, you won't want to do anymore. You won't want to sin because you'll understand why all of these regulations and rules in the Bible were put in place. They were from our Father to teach us how to live the most beautiful life that we possibly can. He cares about us and he loves us, and all these things in the Bible are for our own good. And the quickest way to lose a battle is to not know that you're in one. We are in a spiritual battle. The spiritual realm, again, is bigger than we can possibly comprehend. And in this world, Satan is in control. And this battle between him and God has been going on forever. We've been living in our entire lives. We just haven't known that we are in it. And now that I know, I am going to fight for God. That's why I'm speaking his words. That's why I'm choosing to take this podcast and speak his words to you, because I know there's a battle going on, and I'm not going to let Satan win. I'm not going to let him have my temple, my body. I belong to him. And I am just so grateful that now I can fight for the winning team. Because, I mean, the battle has already been won. When Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, the spiritual battle was won, but Satan doesn't know that. So he keeps fighting, thinking that he's going to win in the end. But the Bible tells us it's clear that the battle's already won. And the only way to be on the winning team in the end, the only way to have eternal life, is to have faith in Jesus. And it's that simple. There's nothing more you have to do. You don't have to be a perfect person. You just have to have faith in Jesus. That's it. You don't, and I know you're afraid to maybe accept it because you don't want to give up everything you've been doing. I felt the same exact way. But now that I've done it, I don't want to do anything else that I was doing. I'm happy to give up my old life. And I promise you'll feel the same way if you just have that little bit of faith. And realizing that we are in a spiritual battle, because it's very, very real. Our own pride keeps us away from the Bible. We believe we are right. We believe that the Bible is wrong and it's fake. We allow Satan to win the fight because of our own pride. We turn to everything that feels good and that we think is helping. We think it's helping us. We think we're doing the right things for ourselves, not realizing how much harm we're actually doing for sin. Without Jesus, we are Satan's perfect puppet. So in conclusion, can you really get closer to God on psychedelics? Can you really get healing from psychedelics? At the end of the day, no. You're going to get a little bit of healing. He's going to give you the healing that you think you need, but it's not going to last forever. You're going to have to keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back. And are you really getting closer to God? No. That is not of God, and God is not there. When you're on psychedelics, you are not being connected with the one true God. You're not. You're being led by Satan. And that was the hardest thing for me to hear, and surely the hardest thing for me to accept. But that is the truth. They simply take you further away from the truth by making you believe that you can be the God of your own life. We open ourselves up to being manipulated by the enemy. In essence, falling for the original sin from the Garden of Eden, that we can be godlike. So I hope that this has touched your heart. I hope that this has opened your eyes. I'm sure that I have made some people angry, and I am sorry if that's the case. I pray for you. I pray that Jesus saves you the way that he saved me. But if this did open your eyes, and if you are like, man, I get it, and I am ready. I accept Jesus. I am so sorry that I've gone so far from him. I'm so sorry that Satan has taken control of my life. Then I invite you to say this prayer with me. So that you can take that step toward truly accepting Jesus. So repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I believe that Scripture says that Jesus Christ is your eternal Son. I believe he went to the cross and died for my sins. I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I'm asking you to save me. I'm trusting you to do it right now. I accept the forgiveness of my sins. I accept your gift of salvation. I accept you as my personal Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said these words and if you felt them in your heart, then I am so proud of you, and I welcome you to the family, and I urge you to find community. I will put my email in the description. If you need someone to talk to right away, please email me. We can get on the phone and talk to each other. Reach out to someone in your community. Find a local church. You will need to be surrounded by believers and be welcomed into the family, and open your Bible. Read the Gospel of John. Read all the Gospels. And start to read the Word of God. I promise it will fill you, and God will speak to you. Thank you all for watching. I love you all from the bottom of my heart, and more to come. Bye, everyone.